हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 46. Sri Krishna continued, "Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature, and thus he must follow that nature. This entire universe with all its demigods, demons, and human beings is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities." Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "The devatas are mentioned specifically to show that, in spite of having the ability to discriminate, even they are subject to their natures and cannot surpass them." Sri Krishna continued, "Because it is karma that causes the conditioned living entity to accept and then give up different high and low grade material bodies. This karma is his enemy, friend, and neutral witness, his spiritual master and controlling lord." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Action based on previous impressions gives all results. Therefore it is worshipable. That is the intention of this and half the next verse." Yeah. So, whatever you've done before, the performance of the activity and the results gained from that gives impressions. Those impressions then are going to be the basis of your next actions. Right, those impressions with the previous karma that you have that puts you into particular situations, that's going to be how you behave. Right, it's not something else. Right, so the situation we'll be in then will govern then what you can do in a situation. Right, but how you choose within that is based on your mentality. That's going to be your samskaras. Because how you see it from previous things, that's how you're going to view. Right? Does that make sense? Let's say, like, you are in a bus station. So now, if you have a good impression of bus stations, then you'll be able to function in one way. If you have a bad impression, you'll function in another way. The station's the same. It doesn't change. Does that make sense? So, how you will act will be based on the results of your previous karma creating the situations and what were your impressions from that previous karma. And that way it just carries on. So Krishna's making the point is, therefore no one can change, so it's just the karma that's going, so that's the main thing. So therefore it's worshipable because that's where the potency of the Lord is happening. Right, because as we remember before, we were discussing those, you know, that aspect of where the devotee sees everybody connected to the Lord, everyone worshiping the Lord, like Lord Brahma. So then in seeing that, then they are able to appreciate how, it means if you understand everything is Krishna, that means people are only interacting with Krishna, right, his various potencies. So, in interacting with those various potencies, then that's where their value is. So the value in anything they do is Krishna. But in illusion, they don't know it's Krishna. But the fact is they are interacting with Krishna. Right? So, therefore, for these advanced devotees, they see everybody engaged in Krishna's service. Right? And then themselves, they see it from the devotional point of view, and they see I'm not engaged in service. Right? So in their idea, everyone's engaged except themselves. So in this way, then, all these different things, the karma, all that is worshipable from that standpoint, because it's all Krishna. Right? But you only get the devotional benefit when you're in contact with the devotees, the bona fide devotees, and from them hear about Krishna. Then, in that position, then you're dealing with Krishna in all these different situations, then starts to give a spiritual. Right? To that degree you see, to that degree you're getting, yes.
We say that our nature is defined by karma, previous karma.
Yes.
So we're destined to behave in a certain, react in a certain way. When we say that we become purified,
yes,
can we say that just the intensity of the reaction gets less?
No, it's just how it's just how you it's just how you perceive it, mm-hmm. Right? The facilities that you'll get, that basically is remaining the same. And what you can do with those facilities, that remains the same. But your perception of them, that can be purified. Like we're saying, the bus stand again. So we have bad impressions, so, and what is that coming from? Improper action or something like that from some previous karma. So then as we get purified and we no longer have that sense of fear or that kind of material discrimination, now we don't see the bus stand as a bad thing. We just see, how would you engage in Krishna's service? And then according to your ability, then you apply that in the bus stand. But that you're in the bus stand, that's not going to change. And that what you can do in the bus stand, that's not going to change. But how you perceive it, and how you start to perceive it in a purified state, means that the qualities are developing, right? The how you say? As the one quality manifests or develops, then the other 25 elusive ones then start to come into play, right? So that's then improving how you're dealing with it, right? But your conditioned nature of what you can do is not going to change. Does that make sense? So it's like, we're going to ride on the bus, not that now we're the bus driver, or now we are the bus. You know, that doesn't change. The material skills and abilities doesn't change. Or what you can do with that. Maybe the quality of them, that can adjust. You know, because the higher the consciousness, the higher the nature, the better, the nicer the things you can do. But that, because it's Krishna karma, is up to Krishna. So if it's going to be beneficial for your devotional life to improve the quality of what you do and your abilities and skills, then that will happen. But if it's not, or not at this time, it won't happen. Because if by developing you'll get distracted from Krishna, why would Krishna want that to happen? Right? It means you finally come in contact with Krishna, why would Krishna let you get distracted? And even though we work at it so hard, you know, we have that determination and that focus and, you know, to be distracted. But Krishna still arranges so that that distraction gets less. Does that make sense? So it's different, but it's not. That's the whole thing. It's different in that how we perceive it may be different. But the situation of what we can actually do in the situation, it remains the same. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's not that it's changing. You're there in the bus stand, a riot breaks out, Diary of the Wimpy Kid, you know, Walla. But then now because of the purified consciousness and the upliftment, then you click back into, you know, 100, you know, 1,000 lifetimes ago when you were, you know, the general of the, you know, Roman legion and all this and that, and then you go and lay waste to the whole bus stand and all this. And Yes, that's Hollywood. Yes, that's. Otherwise, how do they, you know, you don't want to wait there for 20 years for the guy to learn some martial arts, so therefore he just clicks back into a previous life or, watches the video or, you know, something. Or, more importantly, someone eats his fish. Right, his pet fish. Like that, you know, that's immediately going to create the, you know, bring out his inner Rambo-ness, you know, like that. Yes.
Nowadays, devotees, they put a lot of effort into creating good impressions into people about Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
So, you know, how should we do that?
The point is Krishna is already wonderful. That we already have to accept, that Krishna is wonderful, and the deepest impressions that we will have will not be modern. Modern impressions are actually new. Because as we see in the 14 planetary systems, they all follow the Vedic culture. So the modern ones will be more light and temporary. You may get stuck in the loop for quite a while. You know, it's like, I'm sure, you know, Colonel Sanders is going to be in the loop for a while. But the whole point is that Krishna is already attractive. That's why he's named Krishna. And so if we just present the, you know, Krishna as he is and how wonderful he is, we appreciate how wonderful Krishna is, we'll be able to get others to appreciate. If we only focus on the secondary aspects and not on Krishna, then yes, you might create some nice kind of particular cultural environment, but the point is they may like that, but will they pick up Krishna consciousness? So that's the whole thing. Because then their whole idea of Krishna consciousness is based on the secondary aspect, because that's why they came to Krishna consciousness. I say Prabhupada wasn't so impressed with the idea of using all this, you know, rock music and stuff like this, and we're going to attract people and that, because they came for the rock music. And so then when we find out, we sit down with kartals and mridanga and play a Bengali bhajan, then they may not, because they think it's all, that's what you do is secondary. Right? You know, it's just like, well, let's say you have someone in America, he might be interested to go and join, you know, Shaolin or, you know, in China. Why? Because of the martial arts skills. Now, the things that they sit down and meditate staring at a wall for 7 hours a day, that somehow or another is not part of his, what he thinks is going to happen. You know? Like that. Yes.
So practically we see people join because of the secondary.
Right.
Not most everybody, or maybe nobody or somebody, joined because of Krishna, because Krishna is wonderful and all attractive, but this is not what happens in real life.
Right.
And also, devotees leave Krishna consciousness because of secondary. They don't leave because, you know, they're separated from Krishna. Krishna is still, you know, whatever relationship they have, but secondary is very major up to a certain level.
Yes.
And then, you know,
you could say up to the Madhyama level. At Madhyama, it's still there, but it's because one's own kind of nature is comfortable to work with because you're familiar with it. You know, it's like, let's say a cook. He can cook in any kitchen, but cooking in his own kitchen is always a little more comfortable. That would be the position of the Madhyama. So you have that, but what it has to be is that Krishna has to be being delivered with that, through that you're delivering Krishna as the primary. That comes with secondary arrangements. People may notice the secondary arrangements, but what they're not catching, it's the primary that's attracting them. But they think it's the secondary, just like they think their car is what's so wonderful, when it's actually the qualities that the car has, the Krishna's potencies. So it's the same thing, but now instead of dealing with Brahman or Paramatma like they've all been dealing all along, now they're dealing with Bhagavan. So the taste is greater, that's why it's attractive. Because now it has that devotional element. So even though they're attracted by the secondary, it's not the secondary that is the main focus. You do the secondary nicely because you want them to be attracted to Krishna. But it's not that the whole focus is the secondary makes it happen. Because if it does, then you'll just have somebody who's much more externally focused. And like you said, any change in that, then they won't like it anymore. So it has to be for the preacher that they're focused on the primary, but they do a great job of presenting the primary through the natural cultural aspects that the primary is expressed through. That's why we prefer to use our own cultural elements, right? At least the principles of it, because that gives the best experience. Then, because that is universal. Then the detail, then you bring it whatever you can with the facility you're in. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, say, the temple that I ended up in, then in St. Louis, out in the middle of nowhere, there was nothing in the temple. Literally, the only furniture in the temple was the deity's altar, you know, the table next to for doing the offering. Then there was Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. I'm not sure if there's a little table or something next to that. Then there was, some kind of seat thing for giving the class, but I think that that was more just a book stand. And I think there was a cabinet for keeping kartals and that. Then when you came into the foyer, there was a book, there was a one of those kind of glass cabinets, you know, that you put books in and all paraphernalia like that. Then you went up the stairs. There was nothing in the president's office. He had a low table, and he had a filing cabinet. And the Brahmachari ashram was, I think, it was three rooms, absolutely empty. Nothing in there. Right. So by modern standards, that's not actually happening. Right. And by Vedic standards, you'd also have, you know, some rugs, some pillows, you know, things like that. Some, you know, like that. But it didn't really have either. But the principle of that things are clean and tidy and orderly and all that. So those bits of furniture that are there are properly situated. Everything's nice in them. You know, inside the glass cabinet's not a mess. You know, problems. Vyasa on the altar. Everything is proper. And everything is super, super clean. Right? There's, you know, there's no, you know how when things get old, everything kind of gets a fragrance to it, but there's no curtains, there's no nothing. And everything is just clean. And people would notice the cleanliness, they'd comment on the cleanliness. They didn't come in and go, hey, where's the furniture? This is weird. They'd go, this is so clean. Right? Because the idea is you're presenting Krishna consciousness, you're presenting the culture. And you're doing the best you can in the situation you can. So it's not that, oh, there's no furniture, they'll think we're weird. No, they see the cleanliness. Right? Because, you know, you go into so many homes, they got so much furniture, but the place is a mess. So people who are cultured will see more cleanliness, tidiness, orderliness than what furniture you have. Because guaranteed, whatever furniture you have, it's not going to be... how you say? That attractive. Whatever you got there is better. I remember one day there's a building that was owned by one very nice devotee in Calcutta, Vijay Tucker. He took care of the Rath Yatra. He would, you know, the Rath cars still stay there at his place. You know, the corner of Baliganj Circular Road and Lower Circular Road. Then the Rath carts are in there still? Karda, they moved, okay. So they used to always stay there. He gave a place and everything. They would set up there. He'd do, and he put in lots. He was very, very, you know, big and influential. So his building, and then one day I noticed that this monster shop took over like the whole ground floor of this monster building. That had, I went to a doctor that was right next to that, or in the building. So then I thought, okay, what's this shop? You go in there and you look at the shop. And it was a modern furniture shop, you know, all the sofas and chairs and tables and all this. And okay, well, you know, what has India got these days, you know, because you're used to the plastic chairs and tables, like, you know, it's like that. So you go and they have stuff from, you know, okay stuff from, you know, 60, 70, 80,000 up into things that are 2, 3 lakhs up to things that are like 15 lakhs or so for just a sofa to sit on. So the point is, you know, my point is that whatever you set it up and think, oh, we're going to impress people with our modern, up-to-date place, it's not, because after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years maximum, it's looking old and ragged, because devotees will come sit on it, you know, eat there, drop things on it, smudge it, you know, sit there with their shoes on, you know, because you've got to wear your shoes inside, you know, to impress the karmis, and they'll get dirt all, you know, they'll do all those things, and it'll look terrible, and it'll be out of fashion. Guaranteed. Plus, wherever there is space, devotees will fill it up with stuff that doesn't go somewhere else. They won't get rid of it. Right? I've noticed that. Whatever temple you go to, the guest room is always the place where you keep all the things that they feel are valuable but they don't want to use. And they go into the guest room. So you have an extra 5 chairs and tables and everything like this.
All the pathways filled with it.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Any place like that. Instead of, that's what we're saying. We just got rid of it. We actually just threw it out. You know? So that was the thing. So unless someone came along with a nice rug or something like that, it didn't go into the temple. You know, someone joins, they bring all their stuff. Most all of it just got thrown away. Because it was schlock, right? You know, so you got to get rid of it. Yeah. So the whole point is that if we put too much emphasis on trying to impress by the modern methods, guaranteed you're not going to impress, because most of the people that come in have stuff that's better than whatever we'll have. Or the people that don't have, they're not going to notice anyway. It's the people who do have that will notice, and you won't impress them. So then why bother? Right? Does that make sense? There was a plan, Bhavananda Prabhu and Ambarish Prabhu. They were planning on buying a place down, 57th and 3rd in New York. It's like really high-end spot. They found a building. They were buying, the whole floor of one building, like third floor, turn it into a high-end restaurant. Now that would be classy. You know it's going to be classy. But other than the two of them and maybe another devotee here and there in the movement, you're not going to impress anybody. Right? So therefore, if we stick to our principles and then come to that as close as possible by keeping the clean, orderly, everything nice, everything has its use for Krishna's service that we actually use, not that it possibly could be used or it was used 10 years ago, you know, and you keep it clean, that will impress people. Does that make sense? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of where the focus is. It's not that you don't make nice arrangements. That's always part of, because it's for Krishna, you try to make nice arrangements. But it has to be you're trying to please Krishna, because if Krishna's pleased, everybody else will be pleased. And if Krishna's not pleased, it doesn't matter what you do, no one will be pleased.
Because I'm thinking that even at the level of Nishtha, we have still a set of very strong, you know, material upadis.
Yes, but when it comes to that platform, there's more of a concept that you can use them for Krishna. Right? So what we're saying is those things are there. You work within that. But the point is you connect it to Krishna, it becomes perfect. So you have these conditioning, and you engage it in Krishna's service. You're able to do that because of the stableness. Right? Because Nishtha means one stable. Anarthas have been reduced. So you're dealing at 75% purification there. Right? So that's going to be different than the neophyte who identifies with those and then functions to please those upadis rather than to engage those upadis. You know, that the upadis can be connected, then that's nice, but if they can't be connected, they'll still be engaged. While the Madhyama will make the endeavor to engage those nicely according to the nature that's there. Like Arjuna is a warrior, so he engages it fully to Krishna's benefit. So it doesn't change that. So we don't have to change the external form, the abilities we can do, what all these things, our knowledge, that doesn't have to change. And by using it, then we start to get less and less identifying with it, and more just able to use it, though we don't identify with it. Does that make sense? We can just use it. You know, you become that, you become expert that you can just do, but you don't have to identify with it. Like that. Does that make sense? And so as you go, then it means that if you're talking that Nishtha is 75% purified, then that means Ruchi is more. So it just means by being steady, after a while, then you start to get a taste for devotional service, rather than just the, I'm situated nicely, I'm engaged nicely, everything's connected, and so it's all basically more of a philosophical kind of base. Then there starts to come that taste, because you brought it to neutral. Nishtha basically means the neutral state. You know, it's practically neutral. There's still, of course, some, but it's practically neutral. Then you can start the positive. Because that's why then in Ruchi and Asakti, Bhava takes on its natural qualities of ecstasy. Though the volume of ecstasy is not enough to call it ecstasy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So again? Okay.
When you speak about the impressions, like let's say objects, we can change the impression. Then about the karmis, impression can be changed. But when it comes to devotees who are troublesome to us and we have to work with them doing services, how can we change the perception?
How can we change the perception of the devotees?
Yeah, because...
No, but the point is it's the same thing.
How can we change our perception?
Yes, but I'm saying it's the same thing. If we can change our perception about other things, why can't we change the perception there? The point is they're engaged in devotional service. Is that a good thing or not?
Yes.
Yes. Now, the point is they're come with their conditioning like we've come with ours. So, if they bother us, that means they have a conditioning that's different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
Or an aspect of conditioning that's different from ours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just like, let's say you get a bunch of, you know, anything that we find annoying, let's say like a pack of dogs, but they hang around together and they're always together, right? Even though they'll bark at each other and bite each other and they all got fleas and stuff like that. But they can handle the situation, right? They'll bring a cat and they all chase the cat. Like that, you understand? So the point is that it's different. So because it's different, but it's the same principle as they're engaging their nature in Krishna's service. So then, why not try to see the good side? I noticed that when I was with cooking with Bhakti Churumaraj, when he was cooking for Prabhupada in 77, where I was assisting, he was cooking. So then, there was, other devotees would come along and want to do something for Prabhupada. Like that. There was someone came with no really nicely Chinese medicine, and I can't remember, I think there was someone else who was maybe a dietitian or something, or people come along, or they just want to help. And sometimes they were a real annoyance, because how they do things, they were messy, or, you know, they'd take up all the space, or, you know, something, or they, you know, be late, just something would be annoying, right? And so I'm thinking, you know, this guy is real trouble. We got to tell him. We got to straighten him out, you know. It's Prabhupada's kitchen, this, that, blah. And Bhakti Churumar says, but he's only here for 3 more days. He's come here to do service to please Prabhupada. He does his service nicely, but in the process maybe he annoys everybody else. But he does whatever that is, makes the medicine and does this or does that. And so there, and he's only here for another 3 days. So why do we need to say anything? Why doesn't we just tolerate, and then after he goes and he's happy and he's absorbed in Prabhupada? So he's able to see, you know, what was good in it and then leave that.
Then if he's more than possible.
That's another question. Then we switch into the Bhavananda mode. Which is, you know, revealing these things in a more realistic kind of, you know, overall conception, right? Like that. But the point is it can still be presented pleasantly. So even if it is a longer time, then it's not that it can't be presented in a pleasant way, in a positive way. So you're doing this, 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 this is all nice, there's some weaknesses in these areas and it's causing problem because of this. So if you can work on improving that, then that would be great. Rather than, you know, this is Maya, look at all this mess you're making, this is Prabhupada's kitchen, you know, you can't call it that, you know, cleanliness is, you know, next to godliness, blah, 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 you know. Does that make sense? You know. So, that it, to us it seems like the most efficient way, simply because I don't have to control myself, I don't have to use my intelligence, I can just say whatever comes out of my mouth. But if we look at it, is it effective? Because if it is that effective, then why are those days by many looked back on with nostalgia? Somebody looked back into those, you know, earlier days and they think, you know, nice and they're fired up and this and we did this and we did that. You know, I say we laughed, we cried, we danced, you know, the whole thing, right? You know, but they'll look at it just on how people were dealing, because they were the ones that didn't quite, you know, fit. They couldn't adjust with the mood, right, for whatever reason. And so they're just looking at it from that point. So then you can see it's not that efficient, right? Because this whole push on soft preaching is simply a reaction from the preaching back in the 70s and 80s. And this is 2000 and what?
17.
Yeah, so that means 30, 40 years later, and they're still working because the impressions were so strong on them. They're still acting as if it's yesterday. Right? But, you know, unfortunately it's not yesterday seems so far away. It's yesterday seems like it happened this morning. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's the difficulty. So, therefore, you have to present it in such a way that they can digest it, but at the same time as you're saying what has to be said. This idea you don't say anything. He was saying, because it's 3 days, you don't need to say anything. If it's going to be longer, yes, then but you pointed out from what's, you start with what's good and then show and then how the other things could be better. Does that make sense? Because actually, you can only yell at qualified people, actually. So in other words, it's a very good technique because qualified people can handle it because they accept authority. People that don't accept authority, you can't yell at them. It's not that they're more refined, more cultured, more intelligent. All this, it means they're less qualified because they don't have an acceptance of authority. Right? Not that we're saying yelling at them is the best method. We're just pointing out the reality of what the real problem is. Those who don't have authority issues have no problem whether they deal nice or strongly. And those with authority issues, you can only deal nicely, and even then they may not change because they don't accept authority. It's up to them. If they like you and they this and that, then maybe they'll do. So you basically have to just not annoy them so that they chant Hare Krishna long enough that they get purified, that they start to have faith in authority. So that's the method you're doing. So if you want to be pleasant and nice, it's because of their lack of qualification, not that, oh, they're so much better. No, they're worse. Everybody knows that. It means the karmis know that. Like that.
Speaking of a specific situation for myself, like here we find that Krishna, he's younger and he's instructing Nanda Maharaj and others,
right,
which are elderly.
But
in my
but he's, style, he's really presenting it in a very pleasant way. He offered obeisances.
So like when I'm dealing with senior Matajis, you know, who are very elderly, then it's, I cannot say anything to them. I have to just...
So don't say. That's just the way life is. I mean, we're dealing with Krishna. Do we see anybody else
pleasing
do that?
Krishna, you know?
But you can please Krishna by working the best you can in the situation. Because is it about the efficiency of the secondary? Or is it about the attitude of pleasing Krishna and trying to work together?
Yeah,
so therefore, that's what pleases Krishna. Like Prabhupada says, how we cooperate, that's what will please Krishna. So even though we can see is, yes, means what we're doing may only be at 60-70% efficiency in the quality of what we're producing. Mm-hmm. But the point is by working together, that attitude, that's working at 100%. And that's actually the part Krishna likes. Does that make sense? So you focus on that, and that's just the way it is. All it means we just know from previous karma that we were those old people at one lifetime, and we were really annoying the younger ones. So now this lifetime, we're the younger ones. So we just have to deal with it. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, therefore one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Right? So now we can see as Karma Mimamsa has taken this perspective of the Uttamadhikaris to a bit of an extreme where they don't see the transcendental position. They don't see that. They just see the work is the actual thing. So then, oh wow, work is worship, right? Yeah. So that's where it came from. It came from Karma Mimamsa. Yeah. So you see is that they're looking at these higher elements because it's like they're working with the Veda in a completeness. But they're not actually coming to the conclusion of the Veda. Right? Because we mentioned yesterday, Jaimini can defeat any of the other four schools other than Vedanta because they only deal with portions of the Veda. They only deal with those portions that are specifically supporting their view. Well, Karma Mimamsa will deal with all the verses of the Veda. They don't have any problem. But because they don't have any focus on the Upanishads, they don't see things from a philosophical point of view. They only see it from the point of view of the Brahmanas, that to do the work and get the pious work. And so, because of that, then they are worshipping the Lord, and their work is worshipable, but what they don't understand is why it is because it's given by the Lord. And He is in control of it. Like, they want to just say, my work is the control. That's where the problem is. While in Vedanta, you know as you do your work, Krishna says the same thing, to do your work, perform your own duty. You know, and that way then, but the worshipable deity is not the work, it's Krishna who you're doing the work for. Right? So Vedanta takes it that step further into the natural position. Right? So as far as the appreciation of the Varnashram system and applying it, then the Karma Mimamsis will basically be very common in the principles of it. Though they'll get much more into the fruit of, I mean, totally into the fruit of things, and therefore a lot of it will be Kamyaka, which we're not interested in. We'll only use the Nitya Nimittic for the purpose of actual Nitya, meaning the Sad-Dharma. Sad? Yeah.
Once we spoke about those things in our movement now that are becoming popular, like different kinds of worshipping of different types of demigods for specific reasons, and not even Hindus. It's more and more ladies and, you know, some energies and all that stuff. So can we say that it's...
Oh, you mean it's not even the Vedic stuff, it's the New Age stuff?
More or less, I think it's a mix.
Oh, okay. The it's elementals and all those kind of guys.
It's very, very mixed.
Because it's just, as we take on the cultures of this, people get into astronomy, astrology, but not from the point of the Vedantic aspect of how it's connected to Krishna, pleasing Krishna, but just from the, you know, the particular science and art of it. So then they'll bring in doing all this, you know, pujas and this and that. Some will take it up to the Vishnumurtis and some won't. You know, you've got to do the Mrityunjaya, you know, Yagya Homa or this or that or all these different things. When, no, you just have to worship Krishna.
But they're separate. They say yeah. You worship Krishna and...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but the point is if you can just worship Krishna, why would you do separate? That's what this whole Leela is about.
So can we say that this is partially Karma Mimamsa and not scientific?
I wouldn't give them that much credit, actually. That would be quite knowledgeable, quite pious, and it would be Vedic. Because the Karma Mimamsa would not get into New Age and put on flowing robes and angels and, you know, a lot of people with no clothes on and, you know, stuff like that. Like that. And somehow or another, notice these New Agees, they're always farther up north. you know, where it's freezing cold and all that, but they insist on not wearing any clothes. Why aren't they down at the tropics at least, you know? But, you know, it's weird, but whatever.
Down at the tropic, they forget about their new age.
Yeah, yeah. What do you need new age for? Well, life's good. Yeah. So these things are absolutely not necessary. Especially, I mean, it's one thing if they were into that as a karmi. It means, you know, that was what they did. And then they come to Krishna consciousness, so you have that a little bit, you know, it's not a, I mean, I always remember it's a common thing is that, especially, yeah, devotees would join, and they were new agees, so as they joined, then they still kind of had that flavor a bit. I remember we had one devotee, when he came, he was really, really pleasant, nice, you know, that congenial guy. And somehow or another, I'm not sure what it was, it must have been his kind of new agey name, but he was Bhakta Butterfly. You know? And he was like that. He was, you know, just very nice, like a butterfly. You know, it's like he was really nice.
Did it change?
Yeah, no, eventually. But I'm just saying. So they would come in and be all new agey and all nice and all that, and they'd always do service and everything and want to do everything because of that niceness of that new ageiness. But with time, that would mature into actual devotional conviction. But now if someone's in Krishna consciousness, does all that, then gets into new age, it's actually a step down. Because we have to remember is karma mimamsa at least is at the level of manamoy. So it's actually human life. But anything that's new agey or anything like that, that's all down at pranamoy. And so it's not even human. You know? You know, that's why they're out in the forest so much and all that, because that's where they're going to be next life. And so if they have clothes on, they'll be the animals and that in the forest. And if they don't have clothes on, they'll be the trees in the forest, you know? You know, so like that. It kind of... So Prabhupada... Someone mentioned, he commented on that, if they go back to these things, then it's a step down. Now, as a karmi, that they're into new age, it's generally a step up because they're a little bit more into subtleties and stuff like that. So they'll be more aware of their surroundings and that than the average karmi. So then they may be open to Krishna consciousness. But if a devotee then steps down to that, then it's just a distraction. We already have enough culture. We have, means New Age comes from India. It means all the guys that are the leaders of New Age, you know, back in the early last century and the end of the one before, like that, they all spent time in India. That's where they get it from. And then they take that and because they're, you know, where they are, they mix that with the local kind of stuff, you know. You know, the Celtic things or shaman things or, you know, whatever it is, wherever their locale is. And that come up with a mishmash of something. But it's originally from the Vedic. So we already have the original. Why not just use that? If you need all these side things, that's what they're there for. But point is seeing it connected to Krishna, then that gives a benefit. But the other way, it's just another distraction, like, you know, food freaks or, you know, all these things. It's something external that's not even Vedic, and then they're... making the basis that this is what creates Krishna consciousness. So you can't be farther from the truth. Right? And they may catch other people, but so do all kinds of bogus gurus and things like that. They catch plenty of people also. You know, I mean, people make up religions. You know, I was saying the Pastafarians. You know, it means pasta, you know, spaghetti. So their god is the spaghetti god. You know, he's, you know, I guess he flies through the air, and I'm not sure exactly what he does, but whatever it is. So in their religion, they wear, you know, when you boil the spaghetti and then you pour it into that kind of half bowl with so many holes in it, the strainer, the colander. So they wear one of those on their head. Yeah, and so then after, you know, fighting for Pastafarian rights, now they can actually take their photo IDs, like driver's licenses and other things like that, with the colander on their head. That would probably be better. You know, they have the pasta inside, you know, hanging out here. And now that, we should mention that to them. You're a pasta friend. Where's the pasta? You know, if the pasta is God, then why aren't you wearing on your head, right? Respect. That's a good point. So, the point is they make it up, and who knows how many thousands of followers, or tens of thousands, who knows how many they have. But there's plenty. They have their own marriage systems, and they completely made up everything. It's like, I think it's when some guy decides to make a goof. He doesn't like religion and things like that, and just think, oh, this is all just made up anyway. So he makes his own thing up, and he starts preaching, and a few friends they laugh, and then it catches on, and then it's bona fide. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that we have to do this to catch attention. If you want mundane attention, yes. But spiritual attention, then you do the spiritual things. It's not that, oh, by doing this, then they'll like Krishna consciousness more. No, if you're pious enough, you'll like Krishna consciousness for Krishna consciousness. And if you're not pious enough, then you'll only like these externals. So, you know what I'm saying? So the reality is how much piety you have. Because Shraddha is created by enough Agyata Sukriti. And that's only done by actually doing devotional service. So if there's not accumulated enough performance of devotional service, then, in other words, if you come to the temple and help them clean or do something or serve prasad or cut vegetables or do like that, you'll get more Agyata Sukriti than sitting there with a new agey person with, their tarot cards and this and that. And will they ever mention Krishna? No. So then how are we going to attract them to Krishna? Because they haven't even met Krishna. Does that make sense? Somebody already knows tarot cards and they want to have a look, go great. But then they would be trying to figure out who's who and who what's what in the transcendental position, rather than keeping it in its original state. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Karma should be respected. Though karma in general should be respected, karma as the cause is also proved through scripture. Those situated in their varna, such as brahmanas, perform actions according to that brahmana. Right? So if you're taking it up to this level, it's correct. That's the point. All these different philosophies, the Vedic philosophies, up to a particular level are correct. Like Gautama, as far as logic goes, he's defined it very, very nicely. Like that. We may have a few little refinements that we'll do on what we, by pratyaksha, but the process of how you understand things and that's done. Problem is beyond that, then there's nothing much of substance. But that part is good, or potentially how the yoga works is good. Shankhya, then you have the elements and how that works is proper. Or that everything comes from the atoms, that's all proper. One big one instead of so many small ones. So then, where were we? Yes, so in those areas, they're accepted as the authority. But as far as Siddhanta goes, conclusion, they're not an authority at all. So in Jaimini, yes, how karma is, how everyone works according to that, how by your previous and everything, yes, that's how you do. Right? That's the thing. The Tatparyalingas, he's attributed in giving that, just like the logical sequence that's given by Gautama. So everyone accepts that. So then the Tatparyalingas, the six aspects of how you understand what a Shastra is about, that is then attributed to him, and everybody accepts it. But beyond that, after karma, that they don't know. When they start talking about God and this and that, then that's where it falls apart. One may ask, how can there be success of a sacrifice where ingredients are offered to the devatas without accepting the devatas? And so then the answer would be, the devatas are only secondary assistants to the karma itself, according to the philosophy of Hetuvad, causality. In this way, the devatas are reconciled. Karma, by which we live happily, is our deity. Right? So the point is there's going, means I perform the activity, so that's the cause. So, and from that aspect, they worship their work. So they're very pious. They do all the things like that, but they'll get stuck in this cycle of karma for a long, long time. But what they're missing is that, yes, they give the results, but who gave the rules that how those results were? Who gave the potency and all that? So, yes, you might go, you might reduce the demigod's position. But the point is because they do worship and all that, but it's just a matter of formality. But who's given the whole process, that they're not seeing, that's come from Krishna. And so, therefore, then, they have to be respected because it is independent, because it's Krishna. So, they're only seeing the karma aspect as the cause and effect. So, they're seeing Krishna in that part, but they don't attribute it to Krishna. So, that's why we say it's material, because you see the secondary, and if you follow the Vedic version, you can actually understand to a great degree technically how everything works. Difficulty comes is without seeing it connected with Krishna, you don't actually know things as they are. You simply know the form of it. Does that make sense? You know, it's like somebody, let's say, I bring a box of cereal, and then this person can go on and on about the box. You know, what it's made out of, where those comes from, who invented the process, you know, how they, you know, the machines that go to do it, where they're from, how they're made. Just, you could go on for days talking about the box, and then, you have the printing, the concepts, the advertising aspects, the whole things of that, or about, the ink and where that comes from, the different things and where that's come from, and how, what was the original concepts of inks, back in the Egyptians, and they had this, and then you did like this, but then somebody came up, but that's expensive, then he found something, does that make sense? So all these different, he can go on and on about this. But the point is he doesn't know there's cereal inside and doesn't know it's for eating, So you're eating the cereal and they're talking about the box. Right? So, so that's the whole point, is they get up to a particular point and then that's it. So up to that point, it's good. So up to the point of karma and performance of one's duties in Varnashram, then it'll be our philosophy and the karma, the karmis will be the same. Up to the point of liberation, then our philosophy and the impersonalists, the jnanis, will be the same. But that's where it ends. We continue on into bhakti, because that's the basis. That's where everything's come from. Right? So, we have to remember, why is Krishna doing this? Because he doesn't want to bring in the aspect of Aishwarya, that he's God. So, therefore, he wants them to just worship Govardhan Hill, which is him. But if he presents Vedanta, then it'll be about Krishna, and not about Govardhan. And so, then his pastime won't go on very well. Right? He might as well go to Dwarka or something. Right? So, therefore, then he's doing it through this, because then they'll take the work and they'll do the work, they'll direct that towards Govardhan, and then that's worship of Krishna. So, yeah.
We call it Karma Mimamsa, and Vedanta is also called Mimamsa. So,
which one?
Vedanta.
Vedanta is Mimamsa. Well, one's Purva Mimamsa and one's Uttara Mimamsa.
Why both of them are Mimamsa?
Because they actually deal with the Veda, the full Veda. It's all six are called Mimamsa.
All six are Mimamsa?
Yeah. Mimamsa just means, your philosophy. But Vedanta is the only actual Paravidya.
So is there any relationship between Karma Mimamsa and the Vedanta?
That's what he said. One's Purva and one's Uttara. Okay. The Karma is the Samhita of the Veda, and the Brahmana is the verses of the Veda, and the Brahmana is that explain how to use those verses in ritualistic ceremonies. Right? And then from that will come also the Griha Sutras and the Dharma Sutras. So then you'll get how to act within Varnashram, the Griha Sutras means how you function within the ashrams, and Dharma Sutras how you function within the varnas, or just the bigger picture altogether. So you'll get all that coming from there, right? So, but that's where they finish, because they think that doing your karma is the way to do it, and that you keep doing good karma, then you'll always have good results, and this way you'll enjoy eternally. Right? Doesn't always work out, because Krishna points out that every action is covered by fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Does that make sense? And if there's mosquitoes, there's lots of smoke. Okay? So, yeah. So then lots of faults. So, therefore, they have a problem. Because they don't understand what actually the fire is for, what the smoke is. They don't understand what it's for. They just think they'll enjoy. They don't understand that no, there's a limit to what you can do. Because that's the way it's designed. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, then Uttara Mimamsa, then the focus is on the, the Aranyakas and the Brahmanas. You know, specific. Huh? Excuse me, the Upanishads. Yeah, thank you. So, the Upanishads being the main, the metaphysical being the support. Right? So, just like the Brahmanas are the main, the Veda is the support for the Purva Mimamsas. So, then by that, then you understand what actually is the nature of the soul and what's the position of the soul and what's the soul actually supposed to do. It's not about enjoying, it's about getting out of the material world. Right, so up to the duties, what you do in this world, then what the karmi mimamsis do, then is, you know, quite proper. But it becomes very stiff because they don't understand the devotional aspect. So they don't know how much should be done at what in what position. So they'll overemphasize where they don't need to. You know what I'm saying? Like if you only have the one spice, you use it more than it should be used, right? But if you have so many, then you can balance it, right? And someone who can use so many spices in balance can use one spice balanced. Is that make sense? Yeah. That okay? Yeah. So it's just a matter of the emphasis. So in other words, their emphasis is on the Grihastha ashram. The other three are just to support the Grihastha ashram. While in the Vedanta, then it will be, the emphasis will be on the sannyas. And therefore, then all the other three are in support of that. So one is to enjoy here, the one is to get out of here. But the devotees, then it's the perfect balance, because it's about using what's here to please Krishna. So it's not about here, and it's not about, you know, therefore the enjoying, but it's not about getting out of here, because if you're serving Krishna, you're already out. Right? Means they're trying to, the jnanis are trying to cross the ocean of material suffering with great difficulty. Right? While then the devotees, they cross it because as soon as they take shelter of the Guru and Krishna, it's reduced down to the size of a calf's hoof print, so they just step over it very easily. So they're already out, even though they're here.
Vedanta is still on the platform of Gyan.
It deals with the philosophical aspects. Now, if you are not a devotee, it's called Gyan. Right? But if you're a devotee, then it'll be Vigyan. You understand? It'll be about devotional service. It's defining devotional service, but those who are not devotees can't understand that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of what it's just like, let us say I have a bauza. Okay? Is it spiritual or material?
Material.
Huh?
Material.
Material.
Yes.
But if it's been offered to Krishna?
Then it becomes spiritual.
Yes. So is a bauza material or spiritual?
Up to the consciousness.
That's the whole point. So the Vedas and the Vedic philosophy, it becomes karma, jnana, or bhakti depending upon the consciousness. So that gets confusing because we think they're completely separate activities and situations. No, they're common. It's just a matter of where what the purpose is. And because the purpose changes, then you may adjust some things. Is that, does that make sense? Okay. Sri Krishna continued, if one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. The brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas, the member of the royal order by protecting the earth, the Vaishya by trade, and the shooter by serving the higher twice-born classes, right? So Manu, then, this is the essence of, you know, what Manu's explaining. Srila Sanatan Goswami elaborates. In verse 10, Nanda said, by accepting the remnants of sacrifice performed to Indra, people sustain their lives. That is now rejected. In two verses, Krishna first speaks of their own occupation of herding cows, which is easy to perform. The Shudras to serve the other three Varnas, or the Brahmanas, who are the most prominent of the three. So then, you know, everyone does their job, because if you do what you're supposed to do, then it's easy. If you do what you're not supposed to do, then it's difficult. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, the occupational duties of the Vaishya are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. Srila Sanatan Goswami comments. Though it is said that money lenders go to hell, here it is said that Vaishyas are allowed this occupation. Right. Like that. Yeah, so this idea that being a banker is a really high class position, somehow or another the Vedic system is not that. It means we're going to give them respect and all that and deal with them very properly and all that. But it actually doesn't have as high a position as they're attributed with having.
Maharaj, commerce is trading.
Commerce is trading, yes. In emergencies, the Brahmins can take up Vaishya occupations, but we are always engaged in raising cows, anisham. By following these occupations, one attains artha, dharma, and kama. So you get all your benefits from these, right? Because now, in that service, then what are they going to be doing? Right, they're going to be, you know, performing their duties. That gives the facilities by which they engage in the senses. And then, what's the whole point of that engagement of the senses? That devotion to Krishna. Right, so they don't need to worry about liberation because they're already liberated. Does that make sense? So that the focus then goes on these. So in connection with Krishna, then it's perfect. But not in connection with Krishna, then it's a fault. So dharma artha kama. Then is a lower understanding, the Trivarga, because you don't understand the nature of the soul. Then when you add mukti into it, then you're actually understanding the higher principle. But then you don't really understand the nature of the soul as it is until you add in bhakti. Because when bhakti is there, it already includes the other two. But the other two don't include bhakti. So that makes sense. But, yeah. Sri Krishna continued, the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. In particular, the mode of passion creates this universe, and through sexual combination causes it to become full of variety. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Some may object that even raising cows is dependent on Indra. In two verses, this is defeated using atheistic Shankya arguments. By the mode of passion, the universe is created, and men and women unite to produce offspring. Right? So they're showing, you know, where Krishna's taking it from. So even though he's speaking this philosophy, he's basing it on the Vedas. He's just giving the interpretation of the Karma Mimamsis. That's the whole point, is that these six schools, they always will base their information on the Veda. They'll never try to use something outside the Veda. That's why they're considered superior. And they're so detailed, whatever philosophical concept you can come up with, you know, it's within these six. Right? It doesn't mean that they are that one. You know, you're not going to run into a guy on the street, you know, talking from Jaimini Sutras, and that's where he sits. But he'll mention something from there. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like work is worship. Okay, that's Karma Mimamsa. But then they say, you know, the child is God. You know, like that. And so now they've left that philosophy, and now they're using some impersonal philosophy. You understand? So all the elements are within these six, but people pick and choose as they like and try to put together their own thing. Yes?
So when we say they all accept the Vedas, that's how they define the Vedas. May they differ? Do they all accept the Upanishads?
They accept, yeah, whatever's in the Vedas, they all accept. So it's just a matter of... That you may or may not find. You know, that's maybe different. But we're talking here the Vedas, because that's why it's said that everything has to go back to the Vedas. So we'll be quoting Srimad Bhagavatam, but we can take it back to the Upanishads if need be.
So if we're discussing with one of these guys, we may want, like...
You would not, it's not may want, you would want to use.
Upanishad.
Yeah. Like that. Because then they can't complain. So that's the whole... So we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, then they can do that. That one that... I think it's in the Mahaprabhu Siksha. I think he exclusively uses Upanishad evidence.
Right.
And then when he's talking about the... is it the... 10 offenses of the holy name?
Bhajan offenses.
In like that, and then also in Jiva Dharma.
Yeah.
Then he uses the Upanishads. He'll use others also, but he'll always use the Upanishads. So that's just our that's our line. We take it back from there. So then that's would be considered ideal.
Prabhupada sometimes has it too, like.
Yeah, but so that's why he gave us the Upanishad, and that way, just with that one Upanishad, then we can take it back, even if we don't know Chandogya and this and that and Taittiriya. Prabhupada quotes them a lot. Okay. Right. Yeah. So here is that he's using atheistic Shankya here, because it means you don't need the Karma Mimamsa. You just use the one that's required. Right, you don't use a howitzer for a mosquito. Is that's the thing? So as you're dealing with something a little lesser, then you use that philosophy. They're expert up to that point, and then where is something above that? That's where you use the next one. So, but what's the purpose? So the purpose of Krishna is to get the devotees to continue in their loving pastimes with him, and to take them away from being distracted by worshiping demigods, right? And this is demigods, not something less. Does that make sense? So, so then defeating these aspects of philosophy, but what he's going to be establishing is pure unalloyed devotion. He's just doing it in a way that doesn't bring out any Aishwarya. Sri Krishna continued, impelled by the mode of passion, the clouds pour down their rain everywhere, and by this rain all creatures gain their sustenance. What has the great Indra to do with this arrangement? Right. So it's all coming from passion, because that's the point, is that through how you say, the... how did Krishna say it? Okay, yes, the union of men and women produces the offspring. And then by the, so that has the aspect of passion. Then you have by the clouds, they rain. That's controlled by passion. So then that, therefore, then makes everything else, you know, okay, say would be verdant. Is that the appropriate word? Green and growing nicely and, yeah? Yeah. And so then that way, but it's all controlled by passion. It's just there's different ways that passion is manifest. Right? And then we have Indra, who's the controller of the clouds and all that, so you can understand there'll be some passion there. Since they're Kshatriya, it means demigods are generally Kshatriyas, except for the Brahmins, but the office holders and the way that they, you know, do things, that comes from there, so and Kshatriyas have that aspect of passion, and then of them he'll have more than anybody else, that's why he's the king. Right? That, yeah.
It's interesting that in Gita Krishna says the same thing when he describes the atheistic opinion that the world doesn't have any other reason than lust.
Yes, because that's the basic. So you see, his passion is why, you know, passion's what makes the world go round. So that's the whole idea, is that it doesn't, that's the way it works. So because goodness means you function within the world, but the idea is that you move up and get out. Right? You know, that's what actually, but the focus is on passion. Ignorance doesn't make anything work right. You know, it's like getting a blacksmith's anvil, you know, the anvil? Those big, huge, they're made out of like solid iron or steel. Huge, big things that they heat the metal and then beat it on those. You know, and they kind of, you know, like it's kind of like a square with like kind of a horn on the front. Super, super heavy. Now, if you took one of those, put a nice chain on it, and then connect it to your car, and then drove around town, yeah, that's the mode of ignorance. Yes.
So we see all this when we most.
But that would be in the West where you have a car. In India, you don't have to worry about it. The car won't work anyway. So, yes, go ahead.
So when we explain this process of creation, then all these philosophies fall at its place.
Yes, then they all fall into their place because they're only looking up to the part that they're interested in. So in other words, I want the material benefit. So ultimately, what is the Karma Mimamsi worried about? He wants kama, right? But he's smart enough and pious enough and they're smart enough to know that it only comes because of dharma. So from dharma you get artha, and from artha then you can get kama, right? No artha, no kama, right? Does that make sense? You know, that's why in the casino, the guy that's, you know, winning, that's why all the girls are there, because, you know, something's happening. But the guy over in the corner with his, you know, head in a bucket, then there's no ladies there, right? You know?
Old ladies. Hmm? Old
ladies. Yeah. Well, they're the next bucket over. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, there's no ladies hanging out at the one-armed bandits, right? That makes sense. Yeah.
Maharaj, all the five philosophies, they are also called theistic. But how can we understand they are...
They're not so much theistic. I think they're called agnostic. In that they accept the Veda and they accept the idea of higher authority, but it's not not in that way philosophically theistic. But because they accept the Veda and they practice the Varnashram and all that, in that way it's theistic because they accept the higher authority, but they're only accepting the Brahman level of the higher authority. Some of them will go up to the Paramatma level. Does that make sense? But the idea is that it's a machine, and if you just work with the machine properly, you get what you want. You know, the world's like a toaster. You plug it in, deal with it properly, you get your toast. It's not that you have to worship some demigod to get your toast. So that's only as far. What they don't understand is, yeah, and what about the electricity? Do you have to pay an electricity bill? Right? You know, did a factory manufacture that toaster? You understand? That part they don't look at because they're not worried about something bigger. They're only worried about their toast. Does that make sense? You know, that's it. So that's all the farther they look. So they only look at that aspect. So they'll be talking about, you know, where to place the toaster, you know, how to plug it in nicely, how to position, you know, so you don't get water on it, you know, it doesn't pop up and hit the, you know, the cabinet underneath there, or you don't hit your head on the cabinet. So they'll have a whole thing on how you're supposed to properly situate. And that's what the Vedas already mention. But the Vedas go on to mention why that is, which they aren't interested in. So, yes.
So would it be proper to say that in actuality they worship Virat Purush, but just without thinking about it?
Yes, means they would be like everybody else who's worshiping the Virat Rup. Means any karmi is worshiping the Virat Rup.
Right.
But they're pious enough to follow the Shastric recommendation on that worship, but not the philosophical side, like that. While the Vikarmis, they don't follow what they're supposed to do, though they're trying to worship and get their benefits. And according to karma, the closer they are to a previous lifetime of proper performance of karma, you'll see more facility they're getting now and more success. But it's not coming from their Vikarma. That's going to be that's good. In other words, the result of their V karma is they'll be the poor guy that their charity is supporting.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, because like that. So they'll get something. So that's the point is that they're pious. But they're not taking the philosophy where they're like those who are like yogis who worship Virat Rupa or the Hiranyagarbha. Because those persons, they go to Brahmaloka. So they see the creation and how it goes. So they basically worship the primary creation and the deities of the primary creation. So that aspect of the Lord, then they merge into Brahma at the end of their lifetime. And then when Brahma goes back to Godhead, then they go with him. So, yeah. Srila Sanatana Goswami. No, we didn't. Okay.
You did it. Sanatana Goswami.
Yes. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. What can Indra, the lord of all devatas and clouds, do? Nothing at all. He and the clouds are dependent on Rajas. Though he is the lord of the three worlds, how does he assist in this? Rajas is the protector of the people. Rajas uses the clouds. So what use is Indra? In verse 9, right, so this is the atheistic Shankya. So they analyze it and break it down according to that, while the Karma Mimamsis won't so much. I mean, they can, but they're not so worried about it. But here they break it down as just all going on its own. Therefore, if we understand this, we follow this, we like that, then we'll get we'll liberate ourselves. That's their point. So it's atheistic. In verse 9, Nanda said, Indra is the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. That is rejected in this verse. So he's rejecting all of the different things by using different philosophies. And it's not that he by the philosophy, is going to establish the proper Siddhanta in the way of Vedanta. He is simply establishing the proper aspect of bhakti, that they will be maintaining their worship of Krishna without the worship of the demigods. So they want to perform worship, then worship Govardhan Hill. Right, because Krishna can be Govardhan Hill and be Krishna at the same time. So you're already worshiping Krishna by your love for him and the service to him, but then you're adding in the ritualistic aspect of worshiping Govardhan. Right? Does that make sense? So I think Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj pointed out, that if you're worshiping Giriraj on his own, no Shaligram, then he's to be worshipped with the 16 items. It's formal. Because unless we're on the platform of prema, then how are we going to worship him in this rag? So we have to worship him with the 16 items. If there's a shaligram that you're worshipping with the 16 items, then Giriraj can be just worshipped with the 5 items. Like that. You know, nice ornaments, nice dress, nice food. You know, these aspects. And that's all. You know, like that. So we see is that Krishna is there, but they're doing the ritualistic aspects, but that's directed at Giriraj. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.